Welcome back. We're here now with the pension board, and I will turn the floor over to them. So please introduce yourself, and then you can do your presentation.
Hi, I'm Joan Genoway. I'm the chair of the pension advisory board.
Good evening. I'm Sybil Bryant. I'm the director of human resources.
Okay. I think you all have the presentation. And so we're just going to kind of go over some basics just to make sure that everybody knows which component we're speaking about. And so the first one is the 401A defined contribution for the non-uniform group. This is a plan that actually has 231 participants. It's defined as a defined contribution plan that specifies the rate of contribution that an employer and an employee must contribute to a member's account. Each employee contributes 3% of their wages, and the township matches 6% or contributes 6% of the wages for each employee. The plan has tier level vesting, but requires six years of service to be fully vested. There are no loan provisions in this plan, and it's administered by Empower. To date, at the end of 2025, the assets were slightly over $29 million. Go to the next one, Act 600, the police pension plan, which is a defined benefit. It provides a specified amount of benefits based on a formula that includes such things as age, salary, and years of employment. It's governed by you, the Board of Supervisors. The plan assets are managed by DF Dent. The custodian is PNC, and the consultant is Thomas Anderson and Associates. The Act 600 police pension defined plan as of the end of 2025. You can see the cash and short-term investments of $1,452,000, bonds, CDs, U.S. government obligations, just over $25 million, with stocks being the bulk of those investments at $58 million and a total of $85,759,477 for total cash and investments. And so then if you look at the activity for last year, the net investment income was $7.7 million. Pension payments were $5.2 plus, and administrative expenses were $22,000. The plan membership total for this benefit plan is 139 members. Next up is the drop plan, or the deferred retirement option pension plan. And as of the end of 25, the assets totals were close to $5 million at $4,978,047.60, with total participants at 23. And so this is administered by Empower, and it applies to any active member who has met the eligibility requirements for normal retirement. He or she may elect to participate in the drop for a period of up to 60 months. And the next compensation plan is the 457, again administered by Empower Retirement, and this is participation is mandatory for all police officers and optional for non-uniform employees. The assets totaled here are $27,845,421.70. The plan membership totals for this plan is 188. And the last plan is the retirement health savings plan. Again, these are all reported as the end of the calendar year 2025. It's administered by Optum Financial. This participation is open to all township employees on a voluntary basis. However, these employees must be in a defined group and contribute a fixed percentage as agreed upon by the group per the IRS code. Currently, there are two groups defined in this, the executive group and the police command staff. The assets total here is $2,438,341, and the plan membership totals are 48. So that, in a nutshell, gives you the financial standing for all the plans. And we just had a presentation by DF Dent, and they were pretty pleased with the performance of all of the plans, and we basically weathered the storm for many of the ups and downs that have occurred most recently. So
which has been significant.
I think they're a very good partner in this. I know, Greg, since you're the liaison, if you have any other comments?
I did miss that meeting as I was out of town for holiday. But I do want to say one thing, or actually two things, I think. First and foremost, thanks to all the members of the Pension Advisory Board, especially, obviously, yourself, Joan, and Roseanne, as being the citizen members. My favorite meeting of the year, actually, is when somebody from DFN comes up. And I imagine that you went through all the various equities and the positions.
Yes.
And it's really very interesting. And I think most people in this room know I have a background in this, and I have a Series 65. And the one thing I always try to remind people when it comes to the police pension plan, the defined benefit plan, and really any plan, is that you can outperform the market, you can underperform the market, but you can't escape the market. And that is the stability of the pension plan is at the end of the day going to be based on the funding that goes in there and the way the stock market performs. Like I said, you can do a little bit better sometimes or a little bit worse, but if the market is tanking, you know, pension plans are not going to do well. If the market's exploding, generally speaking, you're going to do well. There are limitations as to what happens in the police pension, and actually all of our plans, you don't see DFDent, they don't sell stock short, they don't buy margin.
Right.
So basically, it's a very diverse portfolio of equities, and I believe the rule is still only equities that are based domestically.
Yes,
which has been the rule in the defined benefit plan since as long as I've been on the pension advisory board. So,
and the other thing, Greg, that's very helpful. The other thing to mention, DFDent is very conservative, and while you know, many people know the Magnificent Seven, and we have investments in four of the seven because the other three have been much more volatile and didn't meet the criteria for selection of equities for our pension plans.
Yes, and much of the growth that has occurred in the stock market the last few years, especially NASDAQ, has been based on the Magnificent Seven. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have one question. You said mainly it's only domestic stocks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you invest in mutual funds at all?
No, so essentially, The what DFDent has created with the defined benefit plan
mm-hmm.
is actually a mutual fund. You buy
that's
exactly what it is. Is you buy, you know, I'll just name companies. You buy stock in McDonald's and
Chase
and Citibank and this and what have you and Fast and all what have you, and buy, you know, 1% there and 1% there and 0.5 mm-hmm. and 0.3 and of that's essentially what a mutual fund is.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
They just are very good at observing the market, observing the progress and status of the individual stocks, having variety of it. And if something is not working, they watch it and basically speak to the company. And if things don't work out over a defined period, they replace that person. That's not just.
And I believe they actually have done site visits to various companies.
Yes,
so,
yes. Yeah. And the leadership, the executive leadership of the company is scrutinized greatly by DFDent.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a little question about some leaders of some domestic companies, they would choose not to invest in them or select them as stock options, if you will.
I don't know if this is a question that can be answered, but is there a ratio that you try to maintain between the number of participants and the actual holdings that you have? That if you get off kilter one way or the other, are you more aggressive with your stocks because you're at a very stable point and there's maybe excess? Are there ratios that are like that you work with the accounts, or?
I am not really sure. I know that they have spoken about not making like more immediate reactions. Something that is very popular right now, they will kind of watch it for a bit and look. I think their interest is more in long-term growth, and that seems to be more their focus than really the balance of who are participants.
Okay, so they don't look at a ratio, like we have X amount of participants and we want to make sure that there's this amount to be covered, and for like sustainability to make sure that the fund will cover.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, they take great pride in making sure that we aren't losing. And so part of their performance or part of their reporting that they do is showing their growth from their inception with us, or their growth over time. And it is quite impressive.
I would just state that when you look at other municipalities, a number in this region whose pension plans are in jeopardy because they have failed to make investments wisely through investment groups, and now their funds are 40, 50% funded. Ours is not in that position. Our position is very, very well funded, and we use great investment firms, and that's the key to the long-term success that Mrs. Bryant referred to. So
that answers my question as well. So,
yes. Yeah. And also, when you stop and look at our numbers, we're a $150 million pension investment plan. That's that's substantial, very substantial. And my quick numbers were about a 10% growth in not amounts invested by employees coupled with the investments returned. Those are great numbers.
Yeah. It's also important to note that the one of the aspects of any defined defined pension plan or defined benefit pension plan is the assumed rate of return. Mm-hmm. And the assumed rate of return is actually not that high. I think it's, is it 6.75 or 6.75?
We dropped it quarter
years ago.
So 6.75.
Yeah. So because you're projecting out future growth in the plan, you're projecting out, you know, who may be retiring. So it's all projection, and the increase in value of the fund being only projected at 6.75. Obviously, that is not some type of radical 9% or 10% projection. Obviously, it's easier to meet when it's 6.75. The flip side to that is that you have to put in more money as a township, and you know, we've had to do that.
Right. As we go on in time, more people will enter the program, and that means more money comes out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any other questions?
Not from me.
Well, thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you for this information.
Sure.
And now we will recess, and we will reconvene shortly with another citizen group.